Chapter 22. Rosmarin. I returned to my room with all these new fears attacking me. What if the Blood Drake had survived? Was she again building an army using the ruins as her new lair? Sahar didn't seem to think so, and I agreed that it seemed impossible considering I had seen Kristoff kill her with my own eyes. But we had also thought the zombie plague only affected humans until our first encounter with the Blood Drake's army. I wasn't sure what I should do with this new information. Should I warn the others, or just wait and see what we found in the ruins? Before I knew it, morning began creeping into the room. I'd been sitting in the dim light, sorting through all the clues and information we had up to this point, but I felt no closer to solving this mystery. I sighed and decided to get ready for the coming expedition. Rachel and Kristoff stood in the bed, and soon both were stretching and yawning.
"How did you sleep, Rachel?"
Kristoff asked her through a yawn. Even though my body shivered with my anxieties and the anticipation of our upcoming trip, it warmed me to hear the true care in Kristoff's voice as he spoke to Rachel.
"I slept much better here than I would have alone, that's for sure. Thanks for letting me stay."
Her voice was soft and sincere, and the two shared a tender hug. Rachel crawled out of bed and hugged me from behind.
"You're up early," she observed.
"I couldn't sleep, so I paid Sahar a visit," I explained as I packed some things into my bag.
"How long have you been up?"
Chris asked as he came over and gave me a light kiss.
"Hours," I replied. I didn't want to worry him, so I continued packing and dressing like it wasn't a big deal. But he touched my hand lightly to get my attention. I figured there was no point keeping anything from him or Rachel, so I told them what Sahar had told me.
"I'm afraid we might find the Blood Drake in those ruins," I admitted to them.
"The Blood Drake is gone,"
Chris said with an air of certainty in his voice.
"Whatever is in those ruins, it's not that hag."
"What if it's something else like her?" I worried.
"Then we'll defeat it like we did with her,"
Rachel vowed, comforting me with her steady confidence. She gave me another tight hug and a pointed look, telling me silently that everything would be okay. Then she returned to her room to get ready. Kristoff and I finished packing light with food, water, and weapons and met the rest of our companions in front of the castle. They were all chatting, relatively in good spirits. It was hard to be in a bad mood with the warm sun shining and the smell of flowers wafting through the air. But in a matter of time, we would be traipsing through a jungle towards an army of the dead. Jace crunched away at an apple. Link stood as still as a statue next to him. Rachel and Onyx were making small talk. Erwin helped Sahar pass out various colorful potions to everyone.
"These are good for injuries,"
she informed us, holding up a couple of bottles of bright green liquid.
"That looks like the stuff we drank back home."
Kristoff chuckled.
"Do you really think Sahar would give us potions like that right now, Chris?"
Rachel asked, sounding annoyed, but she giggled.
"Hey, a guy can hope, can he?"
Chris laughed. Sahar smiled at the two and continued.
"This blue one here."
She pulled the potion out from her pack.
"Use this one if magic hits you."
We nodded and stowed the helpful potions away as Sophia appeared at the castle door. She clapped her hands cheerfully as she descended the steps. The werewolf wore a shimmering white dress that glowed in the sunlight. Her golden crown perched atop her mane of brown hair.
"I cannot thank you all enough for embarking on this difficult journey for the people of Nahuatl, and me. I wish you all health and strength. Go with all the speed and secrecy you can. And most importantly,"
she turned to Jace and Lynx,
"keep each other safe."
Her guards bowed low in acceptance of their queen's commands. Although Jace clearly did not like Rachel and me, I felt bad that he had to come along on such a dangerous journey.
Hopefully it would prove to be a better punishment than the lashes I had saved him from. I just wondered if he would put aside his differences with vampires when we were outside of the kingdom walls. Sophia descended the final steps and glided over to me.
Goodbye, my dear friend. Keep the others safe. I know you will.
Of course I will, Sophia. We'll be back soon. I hugged her, and she moved on to Sahar.
I'm glad you are with him, Sahar. I hope you'll find what you're looking for.
The two women hugged, and Sahar gave her a warm smile.
Erwin, guard them well.
The queen prompted Erwin.
I will, your highness. I'm glad we have Jason Lynx with us, too. They seem like they are pretty familiar with the jungle.
Erwin commented as she flashed a bright smile.
Yes, they know it well.
Sophia turned to her two guards.
If anything happens to the council, I will have your heads.
She smiled as she said these words, as did Lynx, but Jace looked worried.
I will guard them with my life,
the werewolf declared. Sophia then turned to Rachel, who I could tell had been dreading this.
Rachel, I know you are wary of me, but I have the utmost respect for you, and I know what I've asked you to do is difficult. I will never forget what you're doing for my people and me.
Sophia placed a hand on Rachel's shoulder. Graciously, Rachel smiled at the queen and nodded. She even accepted Sophia's hug. Onyx stood at attention in respect for the queen, but Sophia went in for the hug. The gargoyle stooped down.
We will not fail you, your highness.
I know you won't, Doombringer,
Sophia replied. When she got to Kristoff, she placed her hands on his shoulders and said,
Don't forget about your powers, Lightbearer.
She hugged him, and he smiled at her warmly. We waved a final goodbye to the werewolf queen, and Lynx and Jace led us down the hill of the castle grounds. It was even more beautiful in the daylight, with exotic flowers and trees and marble fountains and statues everywhere. Soon we had descended the hill and were in the center of the city. Instead of going back the way we had come the previous night, we turned left and followed a cobbled road that wound its way through the city. Buildings in all colors lined either side, and the streets were full of werewolves and nargwals going about their day. Many of them stopped and stared at our party as we passed by. They waved to Lynx and Jace, but when they saw the array of non-werewolves or jaguars in tow, they stared, with mouths wide. Some even shouted rude things when they realized vampires were in the group. Jace, apparently having learned his lesson, stomped over to one of the werewolves that shouted profanities at us. He grabbed the furry creature by the collar and shoved him up against the building.
You are in the presence of Queen Rosmarin and King Kristoff, friends of Nahuatl.
He growled at the wolf.
You will not speak to them that way, or 30 lashes will be in your future.
Jace shoved the werewolf aside, and as he turned back around, he gave Kristoff and me a wink. We glanced at each other and laughed, and I took Jace's actions as a sign that he preferred this expedition to a whipping in the dungeons. It took some time to make our way through the large city. It spread out from the castle in either direction, and on the east side, where we now were, the city sprawled out all the way to the wall. It was slow going through the busy streets, but we reached the eastern gate after about a half an hour. But soon, we approached the red gates.
Open up!
Lynx called up to a couple of werewolves on top of the wall.
Why? Are you on a scouting mission?
One of the guards called down.
You could say that.
Jace mumbled.
We're going to Denochin, if you want to know.
Lynx continued.
Now, please open the gates.
A nearby Nogwall's yellow eyes almost protruded out of his furry head.
That's a suicide mission.
We'll be fine.
Lynx said and patted the young jaguar on the shoulder as he passed through the gates. The surrounding lands outside of Nahuatl were hilly grasslands, but we could already see the tangled mess of the Atalan jungle looming in the distance.
It should take us a couple of days to get to the ruins,
Lynx reported.
Be on the lookout for zombies and lichlings.
Onyx included, her large hand wrapped around the hilt of her greatsword. The Doombringer was always ready for a fight. It only took us 20 or so minutes to reach the jungle's edge, and I was thankful for the shade of the exotic trees. The sun had scorched down on us as we hiked across the clearing, and although the humidity in the jungle clung to me, I still preferred it to the burning sun. I had never been in a jungle before, and it was like being in a completely different world. It felt alive. Everything was so green, and not like the green of the Carwyn Forest, but a vibrant, special kind of green I had never seen. A constant sound echoed through the air that never ceased, not even for a minute to take a breath. It sounded like a never-ending symphony of birds and bugs and whatever other creatures called this place home. All the plants, flowers, and trees were fascinating to me, and so different from the ones back home. The trees in Constanta were mostly evergreen trees, and they stood tall and straight with green spiky pine needles. Even the trees in Carwyn Forest were more varied than in Constanta, but in Adelin, they were even more foreign to me. Some trees were larger than any I had ever seen before and towered over us with trunks larger than buildings. Some trees were smaller, but their trunks bent at strange angles, making the jungle feel chaotic and wild. Dew continually covered everything, and soon we were all drenched like it had been raining. It was difficult to navigate through the dense foliage, but Jace and Lynx each carried machetes along with their other weapons, and they used the flat blades to hack away a path. Rather than their shining steel guard's armor, the two warriors wore lighter protection constructed out of multiple rounded wood pieces painted and shellacked until they gleamed in the sun. They looked like ancient warriors, truly in their element as they led us through the mangled trees. Every so often, Erwin fished a map out of her pack and looked it over before shoving it back with her other belongings. I had no idea where we were, but I figured the fairy, an expert navigator, was easily tracking our movements. Every time she put a map away, my confidence in Lynx and Jace increased. I knew Erwin would never allow us to plod on if she thought we were going in the wrong direction. According to our guides, we were basically traveling straight towards the Tenochtitlan ruins and would be upon them in the next day or so. Apart from the constant annoyances from various biting and stinging bugs and the few sightings of snakes and other jungle animals, we only saw a few zombies wandering aimlessly through the foliage. Each time someone spotted one, we quickly alerted the group and either hid behind trees and foliage until the thing ambled far enough away or came close enough for one of us to put a blade in its skull. With how coordinated these undead armies are, we couldn't risk possible detection by their master. We carried on this way as darkness wrapped around us, but we decided to continue on for a while even though the going was slow. Until...
Stop!
Sahar called out. Most of us had stayed fairly quiet the whole journey, so I quickly turned to look at her. The rest of the group did as well, wondering what she had seen. Instead of pointing out some new danger, Sahar turned toward a particular direction and nodded. We need to travel north from here. My council and I knew that for Sahar to make such a command, she must have seen something with her sorcery, either a better way to get to the ruins or something we needed. But Lynx and Jace did not know our sorceress the way we did. My group was ready to follow her lead without questions, but the Nahuatlans protested.
If we go north from here, it will take us that much longer to reach the ruins,
Lynx argued. Jace nodded his agreement. We're on the quickest route. We've done this before, you know? Sahar opened her mouth to explain, but I stepped in between her and the shapeshifters. If Sahar says we go north, we go north. The two warriors stared at me blankly, not knowing if disobeying me meant disobeying their queen. She's a sorceress, I tried to explain. She has certain oracular powers, and her visions and insights have never steered us wrong. Jace and Lynx looked at each other.
Whatever you say.
Jace sighed. They continued slashing away a path for us with their machetes, but Sahar followed behind them and offered directions. By now, night had settled around us heavily. We dared not carry too many torches, so the only light we had came from a single torch Rachel carried. We had been traveling for several hours now, and sweat made my light clothes stick to me. I was just about to suggest we find a place to camp when Lynx stopped and signaled for us to be quiet. The jaguar crouched down, and we followed his lead. I snuck up to where he was to ask what he saw, but as I approached, I noticed a small shack nestled in the trees.
Let's check it out,
Kristoff offered.
Maybe we can spend the night in there,
Rachel added. We slowly crept towards the shack, hand on our weapons, when a form appeared on the wooden rooftop. Even in the darkness, I could see the distinct yellow and black pattern of a spotted leopard. The animal was large, larger than a normal leopard, I thought, and its eyes glowed brightly as they glared at us. We all stopped dead in our tracks.
Stay still,
Lynx hissed.
Can you
communicate with it?
Kristoff asked. His voice came out in a harsh whisper.
It doesn't work like that,
Lynx replied. I tightened my grip on my sword and readied myself to attack. The beast perched on the shack, barely moving. It shifted its paws, causing its massive shoulder blades to ripple along its spotted back. The thing looked ready to pounce at any moment. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw Erwin slowly notching an arrow to a bow, and for the second time that day, Sahar called out,
"Stop!"
We turned to look at her. This time, why she would do something so reckless truly bewildered me. I watched as she moved closer to the shack until she stood only a few feet away. She looked up at the leopard and then turned around with a smile.
It looks like we've found the djinn.